May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
So are you a tax collector or a Pharisee? Whenever we hear this gospel passage, I'm sure all of us do a little bit of self-assessment and figure out all those times that we've been self-righteous and condescending, and also all those times that we've been filled with faith and humble. And then we try to make ourselves better and figure out how we can become more like this tax collector and less like this Pharisee. Well, before you try to make any changes, before you start deciding that this tax collector is laudable and the Pharisee is detestable, I need to point out that there's a problem. A problem with judging this Pharisee to be bad and wanting to be less like him. And the problem is, the moment that we say of this Pharisee, oh, that guy does not have his head or his heart in the right place, I would never want to be so arrogant and so contemptuous of my neighbors. And I'm so thankful that I have the wherewithal that at least some of the time to put my faith and trust in God's mercy and not in my own self-righteousness, I thank God that I'm totally not like this Pharisee. As soon as we say that, we have become the Pharisee. So Jesus lays a little trap for us in this parable. He presents two people, a tax collector and a Pharisee, and he seemingly criticizes only one of them, the Pharisee, for not wanting to be like other people, and then Jesus suggests that we should not want to be like him, which, if you really think about it, is hypocritical. I gave a lot of thought to it, certainly. And I realized, well, maybe this hypocrisy is what we need to hear from today's scriptures, especially this hypocrisy of not wanting to be like other people who are themselves exclusionary. I think we need to hear it because that type of hypocrisy is very common in the world today. I think it's especially common in our national political discourse. I find it incredibly interesting that people on both sides of the aisle, it doesn't matter whether you are a Trump supporter or a Clinton supporter, I often hear, oh, thank God I'm not like those other people, from both sides. Interestingly, it's the same sentiment. I don't want to be like those other people. Those other people, from both sides, mind you, just don't understand what the world is like. They don't understand what America is like. And they don't think for themselves. They're just a part of a bandwagon mentality. And those people support a candidate that will bring our nation to the brink of disaster. Thank God I'm not like those people. And you know, that type of hypocrisy, that type of contempt, is not going to disappear on November 8th when we have the election. After this election, whoever is elected, their supporters and their detractors are both mutually going to dislike each other and think that the other people are still wrong and that they are still right and that history will prove them right. So given this culture, this pervasive culture of divisiveness and contempt and hypocrisy, what does today's parable have to teach us? Well, I think the solution is actually to really read this parable and realize that it is not at all about divisiveness and division. The Pharisee and the tax collector actually have much more in common than they have dissimilarity. What do I mean by that? Well, firstly, they're both sinners. Jesus talks a lot about the Pharisee, but he does that because the tax collector's sins are widely known. He doesn't need to explain how sinful the tax collectors. Tax collectors, remember, are pariahs in society. They're villains. They defraud the people that they tax, and they leech money away from the community. Jesus doesn't need to explain how horrible the tax collector is, but he does need to explain the sins of the Pharisee because arrogance and contempt, sins of the heart, are much more hidden. Both of these characters have faults and deficiencies. They are both sinners. They both go up to the temple to pray. Both of them are presenting themselves before God. They want to be acceptable in God's eyes. Jesus also says that they will both, in a sense, be humbled. Everyone is humbled before God. Certainly the tax collector, who voluntarily humbles himself, is humble. The Pharisee doesn't know it yet, but his comeuppance is nigh. He will be humbled before God. All who exalt themselves will be humbled. And here, I think, is the greatest similarity. This might be surprising. Both of them achieve the relationship that they're seeking with God. The Pharisee, Jesus says, is righteous. He's righteous because he fulfills all the laws of Moses. And you know what? Jesus does not deny him that. Jesus does not take righteousness away from the Pharisee. What Jesus does do is say that this tax collector, who is not righteous and who will never be righteous because he does not fulfill the laws of Moses, this tax collector also is acceptable in the eyes of God because of his faith in God's mercy, because of his humility. He is deemed justified. You go back into the original Greek, the ideas of righteousness and justification are both talking about the same thing. They are both talking about being acceptable in the eyes of God. Pharisee goes home righteous but not justified. The tax collector will go home justified but not righteous, but they both have a relationship with God. They both have their faults. You can fault the tax collector for being greedy, duplicitous. You can fault the Pharisee for being myopic and self-centered, but both of them, in their own unique way, are accepted and acceptable to God. Because what Jesus does, what he does in all of the scriptures, is introduce a new way of being in relationship with God. Everybody knows about righteousness, but he's giving us justification, a new way of being in relationship with God. So looking at all of these similarities between these two characters, what does this say for us today? I would say it says that we need to look at all of those ways that across the aisle we actually have much more in similar than we have in difference. Doesn't matter if you are a Trump supporter or a Clinton supporter on the right or on the left, your vision of America is incomplete. All of us fall short. There is some sort of truth that other people have that we all need to acknowledge and recognize. This is the first thing, commonality that all of us need to realize. The second is that when we vote, all of us, no matter what our vision for America, want what is best for this country. We may radically disagree what best looks like, but everyone, when they vote, hopes for the best for America. And thirdly, we're all going to end up in the same place. At the end of the election, we're all still going to be citizens. And we're going to have to figure out a way to walk forward together, to continue to be in relationship as fellow Americans. We have much more in common than we have in difference. And this is what the parable invites us into. Many of you may remember that our bishops have invited all of us in the diocese into a 48-hour prayer vigil before Election Day. This is not an opportunity to pray for our enemies and hope that their opinions change. It's an opportunity for us to pray for ourselves, that our eyes and our hearts are opened, open to that truth, that reality that might be very different from our own, but nevertheless needs to be acknowledged. Our eyes and our hearts opened to the reality that we are going to continue as fellow Americans, not just after the election for the next week or the next month, but for years, and that we're going to have to figure out a way of bridging the gap between us to build reconciliation. You know what? I think we can start this now. We don't have to wait 2 weeks for this prayer vigil. I'm going to invite all of us now, today, to really reflect how, as Americans, and especially here at St. Mary's, as brothers and sisters in Christ, how we can humble ourselves before our neighbor, how we can build up our relationships so that we can see that truth that we do not yet have, so that we can find a way forward. Because if we focus on what is common, we just may find that right relationship that God so desperately wants for us and for our nation. Amen.
Amen.